Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring Ho Ho Ho, who wouldn't know? Not me. Not Saint Nick. Maybe a little bit of Krampus. Maybe a little bit of cramps. John Wayne, that's right, here I am, once again, with you. Thank you for joining me. I'm here in Wayne Manor, of course, nestled in the East Wing and the Library of Evil, as I most often am. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. It's nice and bright outside, but don't worry, the shades are drawn quite tightly here in the Library of Evil, and the appropriate candles have been lit, and we are ready. I've got my coffee, a cup of coffee here, and a Topo Chico, and a nice heaping pipe of some Grandpappy's medicine. Very good. If you don't follow my Instagram and my Instagram stories, which, first of all, why not? What's wrong? What's going on? Are you mad at me? Anyway, you should follow me at John Wayne is Dead on Instagram. I'm pretty diligent about putting my story together every day. And if you watched it the other day, Friday, I got a new delivery for weed from my weed man and was singing his praises and my adulation upon him. And I got two different weeds, and I actually was like, man, you know what? I forget that I have this app called Leafly on my phone that I downloaded when I was in Portland at a dispensary, because you got 10% off if you rated them right there in front of them or whatever. So I did. And it looks up all the, I don't know, it tells you what all the aspects of your weed that you have, like where it comes from, what it does to you, if it's a hybrid, what family. Anyway, I was like, let me look this up real quick before I get started. And this weed I got is Gelato. I also got some Purple Punch, but we'll look that up later. I thought this was fun. The Gelato it's also referred to as Larry Bird. Now, I don't quite understand why, but anyway, it's a hybrid from the cookie type family of weeds. If you're a aficionado as myself, you would know Girl Scout cookies is very, very good when that comes around. I know you in California and all the fucking wherever, it's down the street every goddamn day. Well, good for you. When it comes around here, it's very nice. It's a very nice treat. And this is actually a hybrid of Sunset Sherbet, which I had some sherbet a couple weeks ago. It's very good. Weed, not the treat. But it is a treat. And also, this is Sunset Sherbet and Thin Mint hybrid. Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies. Very good. Let me just read what the description is to you so you know. Novice consumers may want to approach this THC powerhouse with caution, but those armed with a high tolerance will delight in Gelato's heavy-handed euphoria. I am delighting in it, thank you. Physical relaxation comes on strong, but many find themselves still mentally agile enough to stay productive and creative while enjoying Gelato during the day. I haven't yet found a weed where I'm not able to stay productive and creative while smoking it throughout the day. I pray that there's one out there that will do that to me so that I can now then grow a tolerance to that and continue to move on to being the most powerful John Wayne that I can be. But I thought that was fun. So this has been a great week. This has been a pretty good week, I guess. If you listened last week, I gave my recap of the Jekyll and Hyde Comic and Horror Con out there on Jekyll Island in Georgia that Nick P. and I went to, and pretty much, drove all night Sunday to get home here back to Wayne Manor, slept a couple hours, did the podcast, and just jumped right back into, regular, life back here at home. So I had to go to the day gig, of course, Tuesday through Friday, and it was fucking busy. It was just long, man. I don't know. These days are getting long. Like, we've had a lot of long days in a row, and at first it's kind of like, well, not too bad. I'll put up with this. I'm getting overtime when I need it, and everything's cool, but goddamn, these days are just nonstop. They're not stopping to be long. Like, they're just getting longer, And that's what's been hard for me this week. I think, Tuesday I went in, I haven't worked, basically I have not been there less than 11 hours any day, Tuesday through Friday. And that's a lot. That's a lot out of my day. And it's exhausting. It's a labor job. We're doing physical labor all day. You're on your feet all day. You're moving. You're shucking and jiving. It's tiring. So this week has just been off. I felt off all week. I haven't been acclimated back into regular fucking wavelength or whatever since I was, you know, driving all night doing that whole con. It might have disrupted my thing, but man, I can tell you that by Wednesday, half day through Wednesday, I was already like, I am so fucking done. I am so done with this. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go home. I want to do something. I need to do stuff. I was bumming from it, but you know, I persevered. I was like, well, this too shall pass, and I made it. But it's been it hasn't been easy this week. So hopefully, start of next week, tomorrow, we'll see. It won't be that bad, hopefully. But I doubt it, because we've already been told basically that we're gonna have to work the next two weekends in a row in order to have Christmas off and New Year's off. So whatever. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's been my week. Aside from that, from working, I didn't really do anything outside of that necessarily. You know, I did stuff here trying to keep up on writing, but I definitely didn't go out. I didn't go to, there was no shows. I didn't have any shows. Just tried to keep it chill. I was thinking about buying Christmas presents because I need to do that. I did do some of it yesterday. I still have a whole lot to do, and we're less than 10 days away, so good for me. Outside of that stuff, you know, just getting ready for Christmas, this week has been day job heavy, man, and I don't like that. I really don't. I don't know what I'm trying to think, like, you know, I know I can definitely say I need to be off by this time every day, and it'd be cool. Like, they'd figure it out for me. But darn this excellent work ethic that I have. I just hate to leave the guys hanging, but that's something I got to get over, because I can't have both. I can't do both things. I can't keep giving extra energy to this day job that I barely, you know, have any real feeling for or attachment to, you know, when I need all of that energy into my, you know, to pour into my writing career and push and have that to push out there and go and do things. So something's gonna, if I don't make some kind of change, probably something's gonna give. Something's gotta give, but I don't know. I'm definitely, that's on my mind this week. Which brings us to our tarot reading for this week. As you know or don't know, I do a 3-card tarot reading on myself before every episode. Just kind of think about what's going on in my life, things on my mind while I'm shuffling up those cards. And then I deal them out and kind of take the thoughts that I was, the things I'm thinking about, and you know, re-examine them under these, what these cards mean. So that's what I did today. I'm sorry. I feel like my voice is kind of like extra deep and sexy. I started like coughing on Friday, and then this morning I woke up and I'm kind of snotty. So I hope that I'm not getting any kind of sickness at all. But you know, if I give a sniffle or anything, that's why. So this week, you know, I'm shuffling up the cards earlier, and I was thinking like, man, I feel like I haven't, I was telling my wife, Katie, about how I feel like I haven't stopped since like we got back from the wedding and everything. And her reply was, well, you never stop, darling. And I was like, yeah, I know, but this is different. It's like there's outside things that are pushing, like it's more than just what I'm trying to do to keep going. That like what I said about the day job, all the hours, maybe the time of year, I don't know. It's just everything seems like I'm just being rushed along, and I don't have time to catch my breath. So I was thinking, I need to slow it down. I need things to slow down a little bit. I need to control the tempo of my life. I need to stop letting outside forces direct this tempo the pace of my life. So I was thinking about, I need that. Planning, again, always, I'm really heavy on the planning, especially going into a new year, looking at the new cons, and, you know, I'm definitely going to do more and new ones. I already signed up for another new one yesterday, and I'll talk more about that as it comes, but, you know, I'm going to have a big year. I plan on having a big year, and that plan, there you go. I need to plan it so that it can be as productive and profitable and doable as possible. So just thinking about those things, I need. I also was thinking that, you know, along with that planning, I need to reset. I need to learn from these experiences that I have had and fully digest those lessons, I guess, and get them ingrained in my mind. And that's why I need things to slow down a little bit so I can do that. Balance, of course, and moving forward, keeping that balance. So that's what I was thinking about this week. It's been on my mind. So, of course, the first card I draw is the Death card. I'm no stranger to this card. I've had it many, many times. There's nothing negative necessarily or bad with this card. I know everyone's like, ah, the Death card, metal! And it is. It's fucking metal. But it's a positive thing, really. Like, so I've gotten this card a lot of times, but one thing, I try to note different things about it when I get it. But, you know, on the Death card, Death is holding a flag. It's a black flag, much like, you know, shouts out to Henry Rollins, black flag. But it has a 5-petal rose on this flag, and I didn't realize, like, that's reflecting beauty, purification, and immortality. And the number 5 represents change. There you go, which is the basis for the whole Death card, basically. Death is about endings, beginnings, birth and rebirth, change and transformation. So, yeah, so that pretty much, that flag is almost like, hey, this is what it's all about, man. Not this creepy skeleton guy riding this white horse. It's change, man. It's rebirth. So death symbolizes the end of a major phase in your life that is no longer serving you, and opening the possibilities of something more valuable and essential to enter. So this is kind of like, it's interesting that I was saying earlier, because something's got to give, or I have to make some kind of change. Like, this is basically saying, like, maybe that major phase end is like the year's ending. Okay, I've done a lot of stuff this year, a lot of new stuff, a lot of growing, a lot of changing. But that's done, and now I'm, the possibility of these new things are coming in where I've learned and I can do more. What was I saying? Yeah, so I basically, by capping off those phases, or maybe capping off some work, some of this day job thing a little bit, you know, I've been there for everyone, I've been there working my ass off. Maybe I need to end that phase of doing all the extra shit and just taking it down and saying, look, I need to do this so that I can usher in these more valuable and essential things with that time. It's difficult to let go, but if you don't, you will be in pain emotionally and physically. So that's, you know, difficult. It'd be difficult for me to let, I'd feel guilty, definitely. I'd feel bad for leaving early or maybe cutting it down to some weird part-time where I have 4 days, I work 4 days or something like that. But I think it's saying, if I don't let that go, then I'll be in way more, I'll just be depressed more and angry and upset. You know, that's the pain, emotionally, physically. It says, exercise imagination and visualize a new opportunity to allow constructive patterns to emerge. So this is kind of like, visualize a new opportunity. I look at that as falling into kind of like my planning phase. Okay, so I'm visualizing all these opportunities for the year, but I've got to get the, like, you know, look at the big picture of all of them, but then really get into the nitty gritty on each individual thing, and then the individual things within that individual thing, to like that, so to allow, to construct to allow constructive patterns to emerge. So if I can get in that, those examinations, visualize those things, and get in and the planning aspect that I'm trying to, you know, really work on, you know, that's going to allow me to succeed through those things, the constructive patterns. I will have constructive patterns always that will just become more constructive and better. This is a time for transformation, change, and transition. They can't reiterate that enough with the death card. It says the death and clearing away of limiting factors can open the door to a more satisfying life. Well, that's, of course, that's kind of like your typical, you know, fortune cookie type thing, but it's one of those, it's so simple, it's hard, you know? Clearing away the limiting factors, they're going to open the door. If you can get everything out of the way that's holding you back or keeping you down, of course you're going to have a better life, but that's more, you know, it's easier said than done, of course. This is also a sign to let go of unhealthy attachments and to make more room for deeper meaning and significance. Move forward from outworn and outgrown ways of life. This again just kind of reiterates that what I was saying about cutting the things out of your life earlier, or else you're going to have pain that you'll endure. If you have to do it, you know, it's going to suck at first, but you'll benefit in the long run, or you'll just suck and hurt yourself. So this is like, let go of unhealthy attachments. That can be a lot of things. It can be, you know, bad habits. I really try not to have habits. I try not to succumb to like resistance in any form, even if it's like a positive form that I feel like, you know, oh, hanging out with my friends is cool, but you know I should be working on something. Looking at those things and being able to be better at recognizing when resistance is coming my way, I guess, is what I apply to this, and be able to move forward from that and grow. And then I won't, those outworn, outgrown ways of life, it says like, I feel like I'll just be better at recognizing things that are holding me back, forms of resistance that are coming my way, which right now a major form of resistance is this job, I mean, just work, which this comes in cycles, guys. You know, sometimes I just really hate having to go to a job every day. And I'm not at that. I don't hate this job. I don't hate anything about it. It's a fine job. It's allows me to do what I do. I really like the guys I work with. It none of that. It's not like I'm looking at this in a hateful way of like, fuck this fucking place. It's not like that at all. It's just I can't. I'm recognizing that I cannot put this much time of my time into that and be successful where I need to be. So that's where I'm struggling with that kind of, okay, what do I need to do? I need to figure it out. All right, next card, Page of Cups. I seem to get a lot of pages lately in my readings, but I like this one. Page of Cups, in the actual card, he's holding a cup, like you do when you're a Page of Cups. And there's a fish head, like a little fish's head's popping out of the cup, kind of like, hey, how you doing? And there's also water running in the background. And these things symbolize creativity, intuition, feeling, and emotion, which I wrote that down because I was like, yeah, that's, you know, I think I embody things like that. That describes my characterization a little bit. I can be a little emo boy a lot of the times. I may try to rough it up and tough, but I'm really crying on the inside and, you know, cutting myself with my secret razor blade. Not really. But I like that. It's also saying that inspiration can come at any time unexpectedly, such as a fish jumping out of your cup that you're drinking from. As unexpectedly as that can be, inspiration can hit just the same way. So it's like, keep an eye out for that. Be open to those things. This suggests a new opportunity has come out of the blue. Your creative energy is flowing, but how will you express it? You know, I think like new opportunity, okay. My creative energy is flowing, how will I express it? Well, through more creative ways, through putting that energy back into my career and pushing that, That's how I'm going to do it. That's how I'm going to express it. That's the opportunity. That's the opportunity. Have an open mind to all possibilities of creativity and intuition. Embrace your inner child that believes anything is possible. I wrote that down because I kind of live in this weird reality that I think I'm like a perpetual 14, 15-year-old, at best, prepubescent, of course. And I do live in this thing of like, I do think anything's possible in a way of like, I can achieve the things that I want. I know I can make things happen. I can manifest the things that I want through the hard work that I put into it and making it happen in that way. So to me, it's like, if that's childlike, you know, the childlike energy or childlike possibility or childlike thing that anything is possible, then that's what I am. I know I'm super immature. That's just part of my personality. And I don't know if I'm not a news guy. I'm not a politics guy. And I don't know if those, just keeping things like that out of my life, you know, while it is of detriment because I'm uninformed, as some would say, it's also keeps me from being beaten down by these external forces. You know, I think that whatever that trade-off is, I gladly will take it, because I think that in the long run, I'm just happier because of it. And I don't look at challenges as like, well, I can't, that's not never going to happen. I kind of look at everything as like, I think I can do this. Let me, even when people say like, you can't really make a living doing this, you know, or the odds of you doing that are so slim, I'm like, you know what? No, then fine. I will be the slim odds. I will be the one in the slim odds then. Whatever. That's what I do. And that's why I approach it. That's how I've gotten this far, which is barely a half a step, I guess. But it takes all of that mentality, I think. Explore your creative and emotional self. Learn more about developing your psychic abilities. Now, I wrote that down just, and I was like, that's interesting. I might want to think about that. I don't think I'm psychic at all, but, you know, sometimes you get, like, vibe feelings. Like, I definitely think I feel energy from people and situations. So that was just like, maybe I should think about that a little bit more. Let your feelings show. Wear your heart on your sleeve. Trust your intuition and be open to all the intuitive messages coming your way. Like I said, I am a little emo boy, and I can sometimes be a little, maybe I should wear my emotions on my sleeve more. Maybe I shouldn't hide them so much. I think that's kind of what I'm taking away from that. You may receive an unexpected and pleasant surprise, as pages are known as the messenger cards. So I wrote that down because I just thought it was fun. I picture like a knock on the door with like a message, you know, sealed with like a wax stamp from your house or whatever. But it could come in any form. Maybe an email. Maybe even a text. Maybe skywriting. I don't know. Third card I got. Strength. Strength represents determination and power. The inner strength to overcome any obstacle. You have great stamina and persistence. You are committed to what you do, and you go about it in a way that shows composure and maturity. Well, I mean, the maturity part is debatable, but no, I guess in a professional setting, I know how mature I need to be, which in my industry really is not much, but I understand for the purposes of this card what the maturity is all about. In the stamina and persistence, I definitely am disciplined to stay committed to things. I've talked about how important discipline is to me, and one of the few things I can say that I'm good at is being a disciplined person. And that takes stamina, because it's hard. It's not like you just start doing something and you're good at it. You know, it's not like you just get up at 3 a.m. one day to go work out and you're like, wow, this is easy, I can do it every day. No, man, it's hard. It's discipline. But that's what, you know, you have that stamina and you're persistent. That's why you're, you know, the flourishing is happening in some things, because you've put that time in to get that stamina, so you don't give up. You do not rule by trying to control others, but quietly influence or persuade. You can control a situation without excessive outward force, with no one realizing you are doing it. First blush of that, it's kind of like, it seems like sinister. Like, you're like, yes, they are doing my bidding. You're like going around a room, whispering in people's ear, like putting people against each other or lining people just to make us, that's the funny thing that comes to mind. But it's not saying that. What I get from this is not like you're doing any surreptitious controlling behind the scenes of your friends or a situation. I think it's just, you could bring a calming, strong presence to a situation like that, that just helps everybody in it to maybe relax and attune a little bit more into figuring something out rather than maybe arguing about it or just giving up. I don't know. That's what I feel. I feel like it's just coming in and by your presence and by the things that you have to add to a situation, that kind of helps to set everyone at ease. It helps to set the answer and the, you know, in motion a lot easier. That's what I get from that. Find the power to persevere throughout times of stress and burnout. You know, again, that goes with having that stamina. You have to find the way. I used to, when I would get burned out at Starbucks working, I think I've mentioned this before, I didn't handle it by, I didn't think the right way to handle it was by taking some time off. Because if I was burned out, I'd be like, I can't, I don't even want to be here anymore. I got to get away. I'm going to take 4 days off. Take 4 days off. You go back and you just immediately, my experience was I would immediately feel that same feeling again as soon as I got there, you know, and I would just dread even having to go back. So I wasn't even really enjoying those days off to the fullest extent. So what I did when I was burned out at Starbucks, the way I handled it was just working more. I know you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? No, it's just like not like working double shifts or anything, but going into work and forcing myself daily to deal with, break down these days and deal with what is burning me out specifically, and try to put a different spin on that, or at least start to turn that in another direction before I decide to take any time off. Because that just worked better for me. So that's, you know, an example of finding the power and what you need to do to persevere through burnout, at least for me. Be conscious of your instinctual urges and bring them into balance for the greater good. Do not act out in rage or hatred. I wrote that down because, you know, sometimes, like everybody else, I have a tendency, like, I can just get angry at things, especially when I lose, like, I feel like I've lost control, or I had control in law. I don't know. Not in, like, some major way, maybe micro kind of ways. But yeah, I can get angry and then sad, like real, like that. So that's another, just a discipline to try to, you know, think before I have those emotional reactions, basically. And that's just something that I have been working on and trying, and now I need to take a more conscious approach to working on it, I think. So there you go. That was our three card reading this week. I hope you got something out of it. I know I did. That was a good one for me, at least. So moving on, you know, I was talking earlier about it's Christmas time and buying presents, and how I'm so woefully ill-prepared and haven't really bought anything. So I was thinking about Christmas and, like, all this kind of stuff, and, you know, one of the stories came to mind, like they do. You just reach, you know, a hand to the past, and it pulls them to the forefront, and you remember them. And and I remembered one. I'm not a huge Christmas fan, but I used to hate it. I used to hate, could not even, hatred couldn't even express how much I disliked Christmas, because of the service industry. That's right. Shouts out to all my service industry people, whether you're in retail or food or whatever. The holidays can be the worst time of the year working-wise for you, and all these elements come together. But anyway, we'll talk about that in the story. So I call this story how the service industry ruined Christmas. So, as I've talked about before, you may or may not know, I used to work for Starbucks for a really long time. I worked for Starbucks for a little over 15 years, just past the 15-year mark, and I was a store manager for 10 of those years. Now, this is a job I had in college, you know, throughout all those years after. So it was one of those jobs that was just supposed to be my college job, that I find another job when I graduate. And then I graduated and I was like, wait, they don't just hand you jobs and stuff after college? College is a weird thing. I don't even know what my, like I told you, I don't dwell in like some regular reality plane, I think. And I don't know if it's of detriment or, I don't think it is. But anyway, I digress. I worked at Starbucks for a long time. And as I mentioned in the opening, the holiday time can be like the worst. It usually is the worst time to work in the service industry. There's, you know, not only is it busy because people are out shopping, but you get like, at least I'll just take examples from Starbucks. You get like every asshole that never has been to a Starbucks, but is out like shopping, or they know Billy like wants to, loves Starbucks, so let me get him a gift card. And they come in, and that's fine. And a lot of people, you'll get these long lines, and you'll find you'll knock them out really quick, because there's a lot of people that are just very like, I need a $50 gift card, that's it, boom, bam, you're out the door. But you get these people that come in, and they're like, a gift card, and then like, now maybe I'll get a card. What do you guys have here? And you're like, excuse me? Like, what kind of drinks do you have? It's like, you don't have the time or patience to deal with that, especially 50 times, you know, every 2 hours or something. Like, you get every, just like I said, every dumbass comes out of the woodwork that's feels like they've never been out in the real world before, and you're like, how did you get this far in life? Like, why aren't you just decapitated and hung up for everyone to example, to be like, don't be so fucking stupid like this person? But I don't know, but that's what it was like for me. You know, you get, you know, Starbucks was, it's all, you know, it's typically traditionally a busy place anyway. Some locations far busier than others, but then you throw on all these extra people and the holidays, shopping, and you know, more people are out at different times, so you can't judge when the rush is going to happen, because you, how could you tell that everyone decided to go shopping Wednesday after work, and now they're stopping at, you know, your store at 8 o'clock when you have like two people working, and now it just fucks everything up. So fuck, you know, that was my attitude. I was like, fuck the hell. I hated it. I hated working through it. It stole every bit of joy that I ever had as a child or anything about the holiday season. Because you hate it so much, and as it starts to approach, you're even like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. You know, we would have, at Starbucks, they would be hinting, they would tease a holiday thing at you in manager's meetings or something, like in the summertime, right? Because you start rolling all that shit out in October. You're having all your holiday major meetings in October, and learning about the setup and the new drinks and whatever. So you're already getting inundated with like Christmas and holiday training and bullshit in October, the happiest month of the year, with, you know, Halloween and my wedding anniversary. And you know, it's fucking you up, because you can't even think about the Wolfman, because you're fucking got elves coming out this year and fucking Madonna's big dick coming out the other one. I don't know. Reference to Reservoir Dogs. Anyway, it really does. And I don't, I want to say that that's probably true for a lot of people. Feel free to chime in and correct me on this. Give me a response. But I think a lot of people in the service industry share that same mentality that I am expressing to you right now. One time in particular that really, this was like the last thing. This was like the last life breath of Christmas joy was snuffed from my heart. This one particular Christmas Eve, I don't remember what year it was, you know, early 2000s maybe, something like that, I don't know, it doesn't fucking matter. I was the assistant manager at this time at one of the busiest stores in the Woodlands, which, you know, if you're not from the Houston area, the Woodlands likes to kind of like say, hey, we're in Houston. They have a big outdoor fucking venue called the Woodlands Pavilion. So all your major acts will come through there, rock acts and stuff like that. And they'll say their Houston date is at the pavilion, but it's honestly like 40 miles north of the fucking city of Houston. And anyway, the Woodlands is a corporation. It's very weird. It's very weird. It's like rich people, a lot of rich people, a lot of, you know, energy industry there, like headquarters and stuff for like some of the energy corridor people, that kind of place. Just, it's like that. So you know what kind of people live there. This store was not only one of the busiest stores in the Woodlands or that district, it was one of the busiest stores in the city at that time, city of Houston. You know, and Starbucks has so many locations. They keep growing and growing every year. So you got to think, like, this was back, you know, over 10 years ago when, so basically subtract 10 years worth of Starbucks growth. So it's a little bit smaller, not much, but kind of. So we're still in this situation where this store on this far, far, far north side of Houston in this rich neighborhood is one of the busiest top five or maybe top three in Houston consistently. High volume, drive-through store. You know, just an example of the volume, I was one of three assistant managers. Most stores do not even have an assistant manager. One, they don't have any. We had three. That's the kind of volume that this store was doing. You know, and it was like just nonstop. You'd get there to open. We opened at 5, and it would be 4:40. And there would be a line of people in the drive-thru already. And, you know, three or four cars. Just like these regulars that they're like, well, you know, I have no idea why they want to sit in the line 20 minutes, but they do. It's just weird. It's just as soon as you turn the lights on, it's go time. It's that kind of place. But, you know, you learn to deal with it and flow with it and like it, you know, a lot, especially if you have a good crew going and all that kind of stuff. And we did. This particular year on Christmas Eve started out kind of like this. First, I wasn't, my manager was like, wasn't going to make me work on Christmas Eve at all. And we were one of those stores that was open on Christmas Day, but we already had like the staff volunteered for that long time ago. There's people that like to do that because you get a bunch of fucking tips that only you get to keep on that day, and it's time and a half, and we're only open for like 5 or 6 hours. So people volunteer for that. But he was like, yeah, you'll be off Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And I'm like, okay, awesome. That then turned to, because some of other availability and bullshit, turned to, okay, you'll work Christmas Eve, but only from 6 to noon. We're open from like our normal time, like 5 a.m., but we're supposed to close at 6 p.m. that night or that evening. So I was like, okay, that's no problem. That means I'll be in there. I'll have some of the rush, but I don't have to deal with the afternoon and all that craziness that comes with people out there doing last minute stuff. Fine, I can do that. Turns to me getting there at 6, and the shift on duty, Shelly, shouts out if you listen, I don't know, tells me like, all she tells me like, hey, you may need to call so and so and so and so. The shift for tonight already called and said they have strep throat and they're not coming in. And I was like, what? So now I'm trying to do all this figure. Like, that's the first thing I hear when I get there. I'm like, fuck, I'm not even supposed to be here today. So a bunch of phone calls to my, you know, my manager and this back and forth. Turns out this person's not coming in. First they are coming in, then they're like, no, I'm not, I can't come in. I'm like, okay. That leaves me there, the only other manager, key holder, or whatever. I'm stuck. And this is another like aspect of my like dumbass. My manager at the time, like after this whole thing, was like, why didn't you just call me and tell me to come in and help you? And I was like, he had kids. He had two daughters, two young kids. If they're doing Christmas stuff, what am I to fucking, you know, I don't have kids. At the time, actually, like, everyone was out of town. Like, my girlfriend at the time was out of town. Everyone was out of town. I think I was staying with my dad. Like, everyone went to Pittsburgh. I don't know. No one was home. It was just me. So I didn't even have anybody to like hang out with. It wasn't like I had any plans, but it's just nice to be off. Also, I know if I would have called him, he wouldn't have come in. I know. I know exactly how he is. He would not have come in. Anyway, so now I'm stuck and I'm like, fuck, man. And it's just getting busier and busier and busier. So busy. And of course we don't have like the full-on crew that we would have like on a Friday morning, busiest day of the week. You know, we're short at least like three people from that. So we're struggling and it's like not, it just can't stop. It just doesn't stop. And like when you're at the bar, like I was having to make all these drinks and you just look at the bar, you look down at this line that just hits the door of your store all the way through the lobby and you're like, ah, why? And you never see it shrinking because people outside are just coming in to replace those people. And it's like a nightmare. It's like being in a nightmare. I had many Starbucks nightmares like that, but this was real. And we're talking like no one can get breaks. You can't give breaks to anybody. How can you? The wheels will totally fall off if someone goes out to smoke a cigarette or something. We'll perish. So I was with a couple of really, I did have some strong partners with me that, you know, we really pulled it together. I had two in particular that were like, we'll fucking get through this. And, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, I guess typically, I don't know, like, if you're sitting in a restaurant, like, your Chili's or something, and they close at 10, and you finish your meal at, like, 10:15, they're not, like, gonna kick you out at 10, you know, you sit there, finish your meal. I know some places, like, you know, they'll be like, well, let's just finish off the people in line, and then we'll close. Fuck that. At 6 o'clock, I told the person working the register, I was like, go lock the door right now. And then they went and just locked the double door that people were coming through and the side door from the patio. I was like, lock all the doors. And so they locked the door. She locked the door. And then I was like, stand there and let people out, but don't let people in. And just like the other remaining four of us finished that line. And I was also like, stop the drive-thru. I was like, just stop. Just tell them, sorry, we're closed, and put the headset down. And so we did that, and I know people drove by that window pissed off, like, what the hell is going on? No one's answering. But I don't fucking care. We would just be like, do the, you know, closed sign where you're like the slit your neck thing, like, yeah, we're closed. I didn't care. They could call Mr. Starbuck himself to complain. At that point, I would not fucking care. We get everybody taken care of. Everyone kicked out. And for the most part, everyone was cool. Like, oh, we understand. You guys got to get home to your families too and have a good Christmas. And I'm like, go fuck yourselves. Yeah. So then it's like the store. So it's not like it's like six. Yay, we're done. We get to go home. No, the place is a mess would be a severe understatement. The place was in shambles. You've had no time to send anybody out to like bust tables or clean tables, stock condiment bar, clean the condiment bar, fuck with the shelf. You've had people in there all day fucking with shit on the shelves. People probably stole a bunch of stuff. So the retail shelves are trashed. Speaking of trash, it's overflowing everywhere. There's no prep done. Everything is just a mess. So when we get everyone out, like, we just kind of did a divide and conquer between all three of us, and we actually left some things, some minor things undone, where we were like, all right, they're just gonna have to do this tomorrow and tomorrow. We can't get to all of this. And it all worked out fine, but we were there for over an hour doing all of this. And I remember when I left, I was just like, man, I fucking hate Christmas. I hate Christmas. This fucking sucks. And that was it. It was dead. I was done with it. I know after that, I went and got some beers. I went and hung out with my friends Jay Lee and Melissa. Shouts out, Jay Lee and Melissa. Y'all lived in that apartment over in the Woodlands somewhere. I know I came over with beers and told you guys how much it sucked and how much now I hated Christmas. And I don't know if you remember that, but, you know, you commiserated with me. And it was like since then, I had just the worst Christmas attitude ever. Dreaded it. Hated it. Don't even talk to me about it. Christmas music, when you work in a place like a Starbucks or a restaurant, you know, whatever, Macy's or something, shit like that, normal people, you don't realize, they start playing Christmas music in your stores early, dude. You're talking, you barely pull your dick out of the vagina of Halloween and have like no time to bask in the afterglow of that love, because Silent Night's hitting you over the head 2 seconds later. Like, that's how quick it is. Anyway, I say all this story to say, you know, throughout those years I worked and did not like Christmas any of the years I worked. I got more tolerant of it towards the end of my Starbucks stint, only because I had a firmer grasp on being able to run my store around those busy times. So that made it tolerable, but not better. Now, since I've been away from that job for 3 years now, I've been slowly allowing the Christmas spirit back into my heart. Not fully, don't get all excited. With the help of my wife, Katie, you know, her family has a very wonderful and beautiful Christmas traditions of, you know, giving the presents on Christmas Eve and all this certain food and a special toast that everyone does and all that. That's great. And I really enjoy spending that time with them. And maybe that's given a little crack of light to my black heart. But, you know, Katie's ushered in some small things. We have a very small tree that I've allowed to be put here in Wayne Manor to be displayed. And the ornaments are growing. And I think, you know, we had it up for the first time last year. And this year, Katie got me some ornaments. One of them is a skull, of course. One of them was a planchette from a Ouija board. And another one was a Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein together, like they would be if they were on top of a wedding cake. And, you know, that does my... Those things do my Christmas spirit good. And not being in the service industry definitely helps. If I still worked in the service industry, there would be no hope for me. I would still be bah humbug. And for the most part, I am. But maybe now I'm a little bit less bah humbug and a little bit more bah humbug? All right, there you go. You know, slowly but surely, I'll get that holiday spirit restored in me. But for now, make mine Halloween. That's what I say. Even my Christmas, make my Christmas Halloween more. Come on. Anyway, thanks you guys for listening. Maybe you hate Christmas as much as I did. Let me know. Check me out on Instagram and Twitter at John Wayne Is Dead. Also on my Facebook profile of John Wayne Kamianali, just my name. Check me out. Give me any feedback, and don't forget to subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. I really appreciate you guys listening to the show. It means so much to me. Thank you so much. I hope everyone has a great holiday season, and Don't forget to go to johnwayneisdead.com for all of your John Wayne and John Wayne is Dead needs. Visit the shop page there for the new John Wayne is Dead 12-inch record and our 7-inch records as well. We have a new John Wayne is Dead motorcade shirt, as well as all of my books are available on the shop page, including my newest book, Scummer, from Grindhouse Press. And if you order the books from the store, they come directly from me, and I will, of course, personalize them and send a little extra thank you along with it. But if you're all of my books are available on Amazon and Kindle as well, so if that's easier for you to do, I understand. Any little bit helps, and listening to the podcast and telling a friend helps a lot. And thank you guys so much. I hope that you have a wonderful week and a holiday season and find some weed as good as this. It's called gelato. I guess it's out there, so find it and imbibe it, and you know, let's have a holly jolly, you know, let's do that.